I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is radical rigging of a midterm election. Radical rigging of an election. Destroying, vandalizing this democracy, the rule of law. So I'm sorry. I know some people's sensibilities. I respect and appreciate that. But right now, with all due respect, we're walking down a damn different path. We're fighting fire with fire, and we're going to punch these sons of bitches in the mouth.
Whoa. There's Governor Gavin Newsom. You know what he's upset over? Because a redistricting is taking place in Texas, and he needs to do it in California. And he says the other side is not playing fair, as if they ever have, right? But he wants to let you know he's a fighter. He's trying to prove that I am a presidential timber. You are as weak as gutted, wormed pine. That's where I see you. But he's still the governor. And if you heard in our last hour, oh, you missed the last, well, you shouldn't do. Well, I know sometimes you have to. But it's on our podcast. We always put everything up on podcast when we finish. Victor Davis Hanson saying you could trace everything wrong with California, the destruction and everything, to one man. I'll give you one guess who that one man would be. You got it. This is a smart audience. Gavin Newsom. By the way, I want to share this with you. This is an interesting take because you recall how Letitia James was going after Donald Trump, saying he falsified information, he overvalued his properties, trying to get a loan and better loan rates and so forth. Every businessman, everybody buying a house, overstates what they can within limits to try to make it look like I'm better off, so I should get a better rate. That happens. That's routine. And yesterday, the court did denounce the $500,000 fine or whatever it was they had put on Trump. Said that's outrageous, violates his constitutional right under the Eighth Amendment. So he does not have to pay a single dime. But they still did not rule against the fact that they were charging him with not truly lying, but embellishing his financial statement. Well, then riddle me this. Why is it we have a governor on the Federal Reserve Board that is accused of mortgage fraud and nothing's being done? Yes, Donald Trump is raising that question as well. Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook is accused of mortgage fraud. Now, being accused, not the same thing as being convicted. Now, let's make that clear. But the chair of the Federal Housing Finance Agency said, we have a document that she submitted to the U.S. government while serving as a Federal Reserve governor. In 2023, she represents the U.S. government, and the Atlanta property is her personal residence. But she was also then a sitting Fed governor, and 6 months later, 2022, or earlier I should say, 2022, she listed that same property for rent. So they're pushing to have her resign. The Trump administration said officially she falsified bank documents and property records to acquire more favorable loan terms, potentially committing mortgage fraud under that situation of crime. Now, mortgage fraud is not the same as overstating the value of your house. You want to sell your car? You're going to tell the buyer it's worth $15,000. Well, the blue book over here just says it's worth 13, but it's worth 15 to me if you want it. Well, you may pay it. You may probably not, but you can't charge the guy because he simply wanted to make you pay a higher price. And then do not forget Adam Schiff and his mortgage scam. He's a Democrat California legislator, the House and now the Senate. But he also has a house in Maryland. And he claimed the house in Maryland as his principal residence. Your principal residence is supposed to be in the state where you serve. But he did that so he could get a better mortgage rate and a discount. There's another case of mortgage fraud. They just aren't paying attention, or hoping, actually, we don't, but we do. All right, welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You can watch me melt down sometimes right in front of your eyes, like watching a wax candle slowly drop to the floor. Not quite that bad. But you can watch. How do you do that? You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Larry Connors, USA, Rumble, or Facebook. And everything later goes up as a podcast, both the audio and the video. That would be available shortly after we finish the program at News Talk STL Podcast, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. So you can watch and listen at a time that works for your schedule. And when you do, please push share, send it on to others, get the word out. We'd appreciate it. I want to take a moment to remind you that next Tuesday marks another anniversary date, of Abbeygate, when we're trying to get Americans and Afghans who helped us out of Afghanistan. Biden had pulled out all real resources and availability to help protect people in the dead of night. And the next day, everybody's trying to get on some planes going out of, not Bagram, because Bagram had been closed down. We abandoned it, left behind untold millions, if not billions, worth of equipment, munitions, and everything else. Because Secretary of Austin, Defense Secretary, said it would be cost too much to bring it back. We should have made sure you destroyed it, because right now the Taliban is using it. But then on Abbeygate, we've got Marine Lance Corporal Schmitz and his fellows, soldiers and Marines, trying to help people around the perimeter of the Kabul airport, and a suicide bomber walks up and detonates. Next Tuesday, we're going to spend that day in remembrance of that Abbeygate event, and more importantly, Freedom 13, the foundation that the Lance Corporal's father has helped found, put in place to help vets coming home when they need an oasis to kind of reset. Be listening next Tuesday. Excuse me. Getting a little choked up there more. I thought about those troops. Not obviously, the loss of life and the loss of life of civilians as well, but the fact that Biden left them in that situation. And, of course, we have later an update on the raid on John Bolton's house and destroying Cracker Barrel. Why were they doing? Why are they doing what they're doing? And also Chip Roy, dealing with the House Freedom Caucus. That's coming up still later. But we got all these illegals all across our country, and as I pointed out previously, in 2 years of Biden's one-term presidency, he helped more than 1 million illegals into the nation's electoral swing states, 450,000 just into Texas. But they're not just coming in to be registered to vote. They're coming in to cause mayhem, and one of them did cause mayhem, Attorney General Bondi.
better look out. I sent 32 letters to mayors, multiple letters to these governors. And, you know, they say that we're trying to tell them how to do their jobs. Yeah, we're trying to tell them to keep America safe, and they need to keep America safe. What happened in California was a perfect example. Gaddy Serralta, our U.S. Marshal, he received the call from Florida Highway Patrol. They tracked this guy down, this illegal alien in California, and he had a whole lot of cash on him when our U.S. Marshals went and arrested him and caught him. And he was given a commercial driving license by the state of California. So if the argument is, well, let us manage California, it doesn't work that way. That guy came to our state and killed three of our citizens. And that's why President Trump is not only going to protect Florida, D.C., but every single major city, every city, and every state in this country. So those letters we sent, we're going to start looking at your funding. We are going to sue them if they are not in compliance, and they have to comply. They cannot harbor criminals like California has done, no longer in this country, because we are going to keep all of America safe thanks to the direction of Donald Trump.
Now, the guy they had in California did end up in Florida with his commercial driver's license. I don't know if he drove a rig all the way there, but when they reassessed his testing in California, he was asked 12 questions in English, only understood two of them. He was shown four road signs. He could only identify one. And they gave him a commercial driver's license in California so he could also vote. That's what they've been trying to do, is load all of this up with illegal voting. And Newsom claims that Republicans are trying to rig the elections. Stephen Miller of the White House says, and then you also have those that are preying upon our most vulnerable.
How severe the crime committed by these sanctuary cities is. So you'll have a situation where local police in Boston will arrest an illegal alien who's a child predator. And ICE will then send what's called a detainer request or a hold request, and will say, don't release this person, hand them over to ICE, and we'll remove this child predator from our community. Instead, these sanctuary mayors will order the police department to ignore the federal request to set them free out of the jail, out of the prison, and they will go back into the community, and then they will reoffend. They will hurt another little girl. They will hurt another little boy. And then ICE has to spend weeks trying to scouring the community to find this public safety threat. What they're doing is evil, and President Trump will see that they are held to account for their crimes.
Yeah, and it's well overdue. In the meantime, we are making progress in making D.C. safer. Again, Attorney General Bondi.
Last night, we seized 10 guns. There were 77 arrests. Homicides, not been a homicide in a week because of the presence of law enforcement. President Trump being out there today was an incredible inspiration to all of those men and women, state, local, and federal, working hand in hand. It was remarkable. They were so happy to see the president. They are working so hard. I know so many of them now on a first-name basis because I've been out there almost every night with them. The president was giving them burgers and pizzas, and they loved it, thanking them because no one in this country will love our law enforcement more than Donald Trump. And they see that, they respect it, they appreciate it.
They appreciate having a true commander in chief. And Defense Secretary Hegseth is doing something that's going to really set the left over the edge. D.C. police, of course, have been basically federalized under Trump for now. They're patrolling maybe the residential areas more than the main areas. National Guard is highly visible in those main areas and subways and monuments. But they're not carrying weapons like the D.C. police. Well, that changes. Defense Secretary Hegseth said, I want the National Guard members patrolling the streets of D.C. to begin carrying their service weapons. Oh, my God. Here come the left. Oh, no, no, no. And let me give you an example of how bad this situation is. New York Governor Hochul is on MSNBC, and she's being questioned by one of the anchors. And if if she cannot appeal and satisfy this anchor, because this anchor is expressing the views of New Yorkers all across the state, as we have in D.C. and elsewhere in the nation. Listen to this.
Here's the problem. We don't feel safe. You might be working closely with Mayor Adams. You may have spent a whole lot of money, but I walk into my pharmacy and everything is on lockdown because of shoplifters. I'm not going in the subway. People don't feel safe in this town. So you may have done these things, but right now we're not feeling good. We're worried we could be San Francisco.
if they've lost Democrats in New York, if they've lost the mainstream legacy media like MSNBC, that's going to be a long walk on a short pier going forward. In the meantime, Trump is taking action to deal with Venezuela. Wait till you hear this.
Three U.S. Navy destroyers carrying 4,000 Marines are now heading toward Venezuela's coast. This comes as President Trump labels the Maduro government a cartel threatening American lives with deadly drugs. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt declared yesterday,
"Welcome, Emily.
Thanks, Caroline. I wanted to ask about the three U.S. warships that are being sent to Venezuela, and there's 4,000 Marines on board. Are you looking at possibility of boots on the ground there?"
What I will say with respect to Venezuela, President Trump has been very clear and consistent. He's prepared to use every element of American power to stop drugs from flooding into our country and to bring those responsible to justice. The Maduro regime is not the legitimate government of Venezuela. It is a narco-terror cartel. And Maduro, it is the view of this administration, is not a legitimate president. He is a fugitive head of this cartel who has been indicted in the United States for trafficking drugs into the country.
Now, there's no word that Trump is going to send the Marines ashore to put boots on the ground in Venezuela. But he's been wanting to do that in Mexico to bust up the drug cartels, and the Mexican president was going to go for it, and then suddenly she got cold feet. What we are doing is having our ships patrol the Venezuelan border so no drugs can get, once they get to international waters, they're being intercepted. That's a start. And if it does mean sending boots on the ground to wipe out drug cartels, I don't want Americans at risk, but they're at risk right now with what's coming out of the drug cartels. Coming up, the story of Cracker Barrel and Chip Roy. Do they fit together, by the way? Think about it. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington. Always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Connellville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, smokestack lightning, shining just like gold. Why don't you hear me cry? Ooh, ooh, ooh.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, if you didn't really ever go to Cracker Barrel, I'm kind of surprised, because I think most everyone has been in one at one time or another. If for no other reason, you're on a road trip, and there's a Cracker Barrel. Why not go in there? And it's always a fascinating adventure. Yeah, you may have to wait a little bit, but there are all kinds of things to see. Classic road signs, artwork, toys, things of that nature. Candies that you don't see in today's world. I know we're trying to make ourselves healthier, but nothing wrong with looking and maybe even buying some if you want. You could probably find up still in them candy cigarettes. Now, some would say that was an effort at that time to get kids to smoke. And I agree. I was one of the kids that I knew the LSMFT meant Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. I never smoked cigarettes, really, till I got the Marines briefly. And now I'm into cigars. But the bottom line was, it was candy, and it was a white candy that tastes good, and it had a little red tip at the end to make it look like you were smoking. And kids would walk around acting like that. I know. And in Cracker Barrel, you go in and you find a lot of that stuff and other things. But they have done something that has absolutely incensed the audience. For the first time in 48 years, they only have a logo with text that reads Cracker Barrel. When they opened in 1969, they had a text-only logo, and then in 1977, added the image of a man sitting against a barrel. And that's what most folks have seen. Their leadership says, our values haven't changed. The heart and soul of Cracker Barrel hasn't changed. Our Uncle Herschel remains front and center in our restaurants and on our menu. It's the Herschel way. Foundation of 70,000 plus employees providing country hospitality. But the fact that they put up just a sign that says Cracker Barrel and text only, that actually has upset a lot of folks. In fact, Jerome sent me a picture that Senator Schroer sent them for the morning show today of him sitting in one of those rocking chairs leaning up against a Cracker Barrel. Senator Schroer, the new Uncle Herman, I guess, or Herschel. Why would they do something like this? They say this is all part of our All the More campaign. They're offering customers in the U.S. complimentary classic side with a purchase over the next couple of days. We believe in country hospitality. Our story hasn't changed. Our values haven't changed. But when they make a change that dramatic for a lot of folks, yes, you are. You're trying to go woke. Why don't you stay with it? Wasn't broken. It obviously was still being a success. You try to get in on a Cracker Barrel on a Sunday afternoon or something like that, you're going to have a long wait. But they've got rocking chairs outside, and supposedly they're going to keep those around. And when you get served, you get served home-style serving, large dishes. But this decision to change this thing is really upsetting folks. They have a country music singer, Jordan Davis, who starred in a new commercial. The closest Cracker Barrel to New York City is about 45 miles away in Mount Arlington, New Jersey. Cracker Barrel is based out of Tennessee, and they have this campaign that they did a kind of a pop-up, just brought it to a different area to bring it closer to the Big Apple. So we're bringing good food in and a chance to sit down, enjoy, and just have some fun. So it was a pop-up Cracker Barrel. I'm sure a lot of the New Yorkers might have had their first experience with the Cracker Barrel at that point, and they might have liked it. But when you take something that people like, as simple as that, or even Coca-Cola, when they came out with a brand new taste of Coca-Cola, how fast did they have to go back and redo that? And I ain't even talked yet about the Bud Light issue, but that's another related, isn't it? Why are these corporations doing that? Why do they take something that is obviously working and say, let's redo it? Because there's a new dog in the boss's chair. And every new dog likes to go and piss in each corner to mark it as their territory. This morning I was on with Vic and Ken on the Vic Percelli Show, and Ken said, have you seen the leader of Cracker Barrel? I said, I have not. He said, Ken's words, she is a wonko leftist all the way. I'll take Ken's word. I didn't bother to look her up. So if you're upset with what Cracker Barrel is doing, first of all, make sure you don't take it out on the employees. And if you like going to Cracker Barrel, by all means, I'm not urging you to boycott anything. That's your decision. But they may well see a drop in sales. And they'll look around and say, well, what happened? What happened? You happened. That's what happened. Senator Shore, thanks for standing in for Uncle Herschel. See if a Cracker Barrel would do that. Now, I mentioned going into this segment, Cracker Barrel and Texas Congressman Chip Roy. Is there a relationship? There is for in the mind of some. Some think that Chip Roy is Luke cracked in the head. Here's what's happening. Chip Roy, who is headlining a wave of members of the Hardline House Freedom Caucus. Yes, they have one there, as we do in Missouri. Speaker Tim Jones, Nick Schroer, and others all taking part of it in Missouri. But Roy is one of the most vocal and central players. He announced that he will run for Texas Attorney General, walk away from Congress. Other Freedom Caucus members also seeking higher office. Congressman Biggs, Arizona, Congressman Donalds of Florida, Norman, South Carolina, they're all going to be running for governor. Congressman Barry Moore of Alabama launching a Senate bid. Congressman Andy Auglis of Tennessee, interested in being appointed to the Senate if Senator Marshall Blackburn of Tennessee wins the governorship. This is all good for them and maybe good for where they go, but you don't want to lose the essence of the Freedom Caucus and what it's been doing. Or has it been effective versus obstructive? Therein lies another story. Congressman Derek Van Orden, a Republican from Wisconsin. They're not really strong in Wisconsin, are they? But he says, I wish Chip Roy nothing but the best. I hope he does good. Derek Van Orden has often been criticizing the House Freedom Caucus. And then he added, the outcome of Chip Roy leaving is a more productive Congress. He's been a contrarian, an obstructionist. But maybe that's exactly what was needed at that point, depending on what he's trying to refer to. Congresswoman Stephanie Bice, I should say, of Oklahoma said, "My hope is we will have members from the Freedom Caucus step up to fill the void, not just to Chip Roy, but the others I named, because there is a need for us to continue to work together." Hardline resistance to GOP leadership has held up major votes on the House floor the last few years. And yes, Chip Roy has been a key player. As this one story writes, personifying the House Freedom Caucus of using every leverage point available to maximum effect to secure what they see as a more conservative policy win. I don't want us to lose that in Congress. You can count, you have so many Republicans, but how many of them are really going to stand firm or go stand in quicksand and slowly go under? Back in January 2023, after that 15 ballots to get to Speaker Kevin McCarthy, Chip Roy landed one of the more important spots on the House Rules Committee, the last stop for major legislation before it hits the House floor. So it was effective. Or, again, if you want to look at it from the other side, even inside Republican parties, was it obstructive? And you got other House members questioning the effectiveness of Freedom Caucus members. Are they doing what our nation needs? Then I say go with them. You consider them obstructionist and contrarian because they're not buying into wishy-washy politics. They want hard, solid, concrete foundation, as we should have in our nation. And that is obviously at our Capitol as well. Coming up, the Bolton raid, the FBI moving into John Bolton's house.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545, 689-0545. This is PRI Global, and recently the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545, 689-0545, or go direct PRIglobal.ai, PRIglobal.ai. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service.
Yeah.
You've worked hard for your money, so protect it. Meet my friend, Bob Leslie, and ask about the Gain and Retain Plan. Leslie Consulting, 40 years in the St. Louis area as a leader in brokerage and risk management. Call 314-721-0066, 721-0066. Oh, and ask Bob how he was the L.A. Dodger number one pick. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
7 o'clock this morning, FBI agents raided Ambassador Bolton's home. Notable, we're being told by two government sources that they are looking for classified documents as part of a potential leak investigation. We're told that Ambassador Bolton is not in custody. He's not under arrest, but it is notable they are at his Maryland home right now. We don't know how many agents are there. We're waiting to get a picture of the scene coming in right now. This is going to be a long process. We saw the raid of former Trump advisor Roger Stone's home down in Florida several years ago. Eventually, he went to trial. We saw, famously, in August of 2022, exactly 3 years ago, a little bit more than 3 years ago, the raid on Mar-a-Lago that still has the FBI in hot water. That's a little bit of a different situation as it was former president, but it deals with classified documents.
It is a not just a little bit different. It is a major different event. SWAT teams went into Mar-a-Lago and going through Melania Trump's underwear drawers at the same time, looking for, quote, classified documents. John Bolton published a book recently, and supposedly he had classified intel information he actually printed in the book. So I assume they were thinking that if he wrote a book using some of that, he must have some of those documents at his home. That would be my premise. I don't know if it's accurate, but the left will have you believe the FBI is doing it because it's Donald Trump seeking retribution revenge. Okay. Go ahead and think that. I have no problem with doing that, to be quite honest, but we're literally looking at accountability. And the other key point, no one is above the law. Let me share that with you, Fraz, as it's written by Sean Fleetwood of The Federalist. Great piece he wrote on it. And it's titled that, No One is Above the Law. The FBI raiding the home of former National Security Advisor John Bolton. That's right. Keep in mind, he served in the first Trump administration briefly as National Security Advisor. Trump decided he was too hawkish and maybe had some other issues with him, so he was out pretty quickly. But here's the way Sean writes it for The Federalist, and actually he's referring to the New York Post, which initially broke the story, and it reads, federal agents went to Bolton's house in Bethesda, Maryland at 7 a.m., that'd be Eastern Standard Time, in an investigation ordered by FBI Director Kash Patel. And then Fox News, as you were hearing, was reporting that later they were taking boxes out and Bolton was seen in the lobby. Patel confirmed the raid in an early Friday morning post at roughly the same time the raid was taking place. Writing on X, no one is above the law. FBI agents on a mission. Dan Bongino quoted Patel's statement. And then the co-deputy director wrote, public corruption will not be tolerated. Again to the Sean Davis article from The Federalist. Sources who repeatedly spoke with the Post, that would be the, which Post was that again? New York Post. Want to make sure I had the right one. And other outlets maintain the searches are related to Bolton's alleged possession of classified documents. One senior official said the raid is specifically related to a probe first launched years ago. But the Biden administration shut it down for political reasons. The related investigation began in 2020, the same year Trump's first Justice Department launched a criminal inquiry into Bolton's alleged disclosure of national secrets. That's in that book titled The Room Where It Happened. That came after Trump fought to quash the publication because it included national secrets, saying Bolton broke an NDA signed as a condition of his employment, a non-disclosure agreement. Bolton at last has not been arrested nor charged with specific crimes. But Jonathan Turley, Georgetown law professor, legal analyst for Fox News, says there's something bigger here.
It is intriguing here because these are long-standing allegations that the book indicated or referenced classified material that he may have acquired when he was in the administration. We're not clear as to what that is, but it would suggest that it could be national defense information. The reason that's important is that creates a heightened potential penalty. So you can have penalties that range from 5 to 20 years. 20 years tends to be the sentences for concealing information, obstructing justice. Simply having classified information can weigh in at about 10 years, and there are often multiple counts because each of those documents can be charged separately. So there is a strange history here. So you had these allegations coming out as early as the first Trump administration. Then there was an allegation that the Biden administration essentially scuttled a further look at this case. Right. And now we have this new development. But we really don't know if there's something that has occurred most recently, whether they uncovered something that they believed is sort of evergreen, that this is still a viable criminal case.
We do know this. John Bolton continues to be a vocal critic of Trump. In fact, he was on MSNBC in August 2022 discussing the Mar-a-Lago raid. And Bolton expressed his belief that Trump didn't, quote, care about the classification system or appreciate the sensitivity of this information. That kind of verbiage, and then you turn around and do something that you might have been doing the same thing you're accusing Trump of. He went on to say he liked talking about Trump. He liked cool things. He saw things, so he wanted to take them. And is pretty much able to take them, and not just on classified information matters, but all kinds of things that crossed his desk. Bolton said, listen to this. This is how weak, ineffective, and little titter-tatter tattletale this is. Some days Trump liked to eat a bunch of French fries. Some days he took classified documents. He wanted them. Why did he want them? Because he could get them. I guess that's also why he had the French fries, because he could get them. No ketchup? Bolton appeared again on the network nearly a year later, criticizing Trump over classified documents. At that time, speaking to the Biden press secretary, the original, Jen Psaki, who's also an MSNBC host, and he maintained again that Trump sometimes likes to retain things. I think that's a pattern that's very disturbing. There is a difference, let me stress this to you, between the President of the United States with any classified documents, because he decides this can be declassified. Trump had made that claim at some point regarding some of the Mar-a-Lago papers, and that he had done it in advance. There's a whole humbug of things you got to dig through to find out really what was said and what the truth was. But the bottom line is, John Bolton is not the commander-in-chief and president. And if he did take them, he is clearly in a violation, not necessarily Trump. I'm not trying to make amends for him. I'm just trying to point out they're not similar in any way when you look at one as a an appointed, confirmed by the Senate position. One is elected president, commander-in-chief, leader of the free nation. Speaking about trying to be free, Israel still wants to get hostages out of Gaza, get them out alive. But they're reaching a point that they're not willing to give Hamas more time. And the message is very clear.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu revealing Israel would immediately resume negotiations for the release of all hostages held in Gaza, but only on terms acceptable to Israel. The Israeli Defense Minister Katz has just sent out a notice in Hebrew warning Hamas, quote, the gates of hell will open if this terror group does not agree to a ceasefire, bring an end to nearly 2 years of fighting. He also said they now have approved the IDF's plans to defeat Hamas in Gaza, overwhelming firepower, evacuation of residents, and maneuver operations.
The gates of hell will open. If Hamas has not already felt that they've been in that position, well, how much more are they going to sustain or put up with? The issue, obviously, again, is civilian collateral damage. As much as I hate the phrase, that's what it would be. Because Hamas, they're a bunch of sissies and cowards. They hide behind women and children. They'll even put on a dress to make it appear that they're a woman, so maybe they won't be killed by the IDF. And they'll use that as a disguise to get closer to IDF forces. Bunch of cowards. So going from the situation in Gaza back to Russia-Ukraine, no new talks have been scheduled or set. Some are saying, I don't think Putin is really being serious. John Kennedy, Louisiana senator, says, I'm for giving them a few more weeks, not months. And if they're not showing up at the table and doing more to show they Russia, Putin is willing to end all of this, then we need to step up our seizures and our sanctions.
I would begin by seizing all of the foreign assets of Russia in Western countries' jurisdiction. That's about $300 billion. I would give that money to Ukraine to fight the war. And then I would figure out a way, through sanctions or otherwise, to cut off his cash flow, which means cutting off his sales of oil. The final point I would make, Europe is doing better, but it's not doing enough. Europe has five times more people than Russia. Europe is richer than Russia. It has 10 times more money. I know the Europeans, they're our friends. I respect that. But and they like to take August off. But Putin's not taking August off. Europe needs to do more.
Yeah, they do. And they should want to do more because it's the most direct threat to them. Trump has made it clear we will have no U.S. troops, no U.S. boots on the ground in Ukraine. We'll supply air power to whatever extent he means that is still undetermined. But unless Russia crosses the ocean and comes to our continent, we're not going to be fighting Russians directly. The Europeans might well tomorrow or the next day. By the way, trying to bring peace to our nation, the outcry continues because we have troops, National Guard troops in D.C., and now comes word that Trump might deploy Guard members into Philadelphia to shut down all the crime in that city. And there will be other blue cities targeted as well. I think that's great. Get the thugs out of the people's way, off the streets. I need to share this with you. I need to share it because I want to be fair. Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett claims that Larry Connors and others like me, conservatives, we're challenging her because she's black and educated. She didn't name me, but I take it as an affront to me when she says conservatives, because I consider I'm a conservative. I'm not challenging you because you're black and educated. I'm challenging you because of what you act like you stand for, and then you go into ghetto thug language when you came out of MICDS, a prestigious private school in the St. Louis area. You go down to Texas, and suddenly you run for Congress, and there you are in Congress. And then you fall back on your street lang and cred, not dealing with the actual facts of any case. But now you want to again play the race card and the education card. She claimed right now, MAGA keeps challenging me due to my blackness, due to the fact that I'm educated, because I'm not racist at all. Really? The fact you brought it up says you're racist. I go back to the quote from Governor Abbott of Texas. I mean, if you want to continue to go down this road, Jasmine, as Governor Abbott of Texas said, it would not be a day of the week ending in the letter Y if Jasmine Crockett didn't say something racist. Amen. So what did you learn this hour? What have you learned this week? Classes in recess until Monday, but be in your seats come Monday. We will educate you even more. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.